I'm reading from my book, Soon I Will Build an Ark, which is here. There are copies for sale. I'm going to begin with the title poem. Soon I will build an ark. So this is school. No parents anywhere, and no men, not even in the bathroom stalls. I try catching words from air as the teacher speaks, but they're too hard to hold. Whichever words I clutch make me drop the rest like jacks at recess. Instead, I read the posters, red and green, blue and yellow, hanging above the blackboard. A, apple, perfectly round, even the stem looks tasty. B, ball, suspended in air, blue with green and yellow stripe. C, cat, small and black, a kitten, not like Bacardi, gnarly old tiger that hides under our beds, scratching and biting our ankles, pinning us to our mattresses. D, dog, I miss Heidi who barked too much, lived in our backyard. I stare at you, so many letters beneath it. It isn't the girl, the rain. Maybe it's the way the drops hit her hand, held away from her body. I search the posters, chase Dick and Jane, read every road sign, pour through the newspaper. I collect words and letters like pebbles, like sticks, like ammunition. I will unlock daylight's concrete world, its walls of block. I will slip through night's probing fingers, its smothered sounds. Soon, I will build an ark, draw a rocket, soar over rooftops, sew seven shirts of starwort, grow a giant peach, shrink until I live under floorboards, travel by hot air balloon, ride a star railroad, clean my volcanoes, leave. I'm still trying. There is no. My dead sister faces me everywhere in my mother's house. Photos arranged so Kelly meets the eye from every chair. Above the couch, she swims freestyle, 6 years old. Beside mom's computer, she rises from the water, laughing. Behind it, she stands in a doorway, face shadowed, young woman in a flowered yellow sundress. In a photo from a wedding, Kelly dances, jaw slack, eyelids drooping. Her last picture beside the couch at mom's right hand. Kelly at eye level stares, smiling, jaundiced skin stretched tight across her cheeks, brow. A painting she made in some rehab hangs above her computer, now used by guests. Black circle of pines pressing on a clearing, a small girl surrounded by dark. To its right, photo of a teenage Kelly, her profile, hair shorter, darker, falls forward, hiding her eyes. Beside it, in her angled script, me, trying to figure this out. History of ornament. I served beer from quarter kegs to graduate students of industrial administration at my alma mater, passing trays of sausage on pastry in black pants, white shirt, through room after room roped with origami. Thousands on thousands of paper cranes, gilt, patterned, solid, batik striped. I was invisible, except to one woman in a navy mini dress who eyed me up and down, entitled and speculative, practicing for her own office lined with chair rails, her acre of desk. I was eyeing the birds. First Christmas alone, first single mother tree, owning not one ornament. Drunk and glittering, the students left, scorning wishes, the promise of healing, good fortune. I took it all. Outlasting that paycheck, dozens of paper birds landed on these branches from plastic bags filled with gold, red, blue, purple, flowered, checkered, silver, shining foil. My mother is having plastic surgery again. As a child, my mother's ears stuck out. Her first cosmetic surgery, ears stitched to her head. In adolescence, she watched her profile in mirrors, saw a weak chin, saved her first paychecks for jaw implants. Two complete facelifts, one for each child's wedding, skin undermined, separated from tissues, mooring it to face. Tissues sewn like hemming, like trussing, triangles of skin dropped on surgical trays, black and blue worse than a beating, for weeks, and complications, hives from the tape, infection, clots. Between and after facelifts, it's her eyes. Lines, all she sees. Not Audrey Hepburn wide, not doe-like. Four eye lifts, half of each eyelid removed. For a while, her eyes barely close. Another wedding in 7 months. First grandchild's. Age 76, my mother calls to say, I know I promised I wouldn't have plastic surgery anymore, but I'm having a little one. Managing challenging family behaviors. Sit inside the untrimmed forsythia so only yellow, blue, and green are visible. Climb the magnolia tree behind the birdbath. Lie on a branch surrounded by flowers. Invisible. Always take a book to the dinner table. Rural Route 381. Walk the 5 mile circle, out the front door, past posted no hunting, trailers and farms, tied dogs barking in their circle of dirt. Untangle multi-hued, triple-stranded yarn, scratching fingertips, wind in a tight ball. Slide a needle through size 12 mesh canvas till the squares are filled. Decide not to talk. 45 minutes, mall to home. Stare out the window through your family's faint reflections. I, too, have a sibling who died. My sister died at age 36 of alcoholism and anorexia, and this is a poem about the second. After Linda Hull, Heroic Measures. Mother's new neighbors don't know much about white-tailed deer, the Pennsylvania Game Commission, or Western PA. Snowbirds who migrate to escape Florida steam, they're here a few months each year. Sit on their flat open patio, square paving stones, watching families of deer gather in their yard, eat the feed they place daily beneath their oaks, their pines. Those deer stand hours, days, in winter's biting wind, freezing rain, waiting for what they remember from summer's abundance. Not even a salt lick left behind by the retirees who return to their pastel bungalow, their winter smells of ceaseless tides and screaming gulls. Kelly, your Katie barks and barks at the deer. Mother spoiled her. Lately, she barks even at nothing. Mother worries the excitement will make her cough, die. So she measures Katie's food, holds the bowl while she eats, polices the floor for crumbs Katie might eat. Twice now, I've seen the white deer. Once, as I was driving away from the daily crazy, he crossed the road in front of my car, leapt into the evergreens where Club Road bends like a grazing path, like the Loyal Hannah, creek of asphalt, of gravel. Every car I drive slips there, that last descent, like sliding on a dry creek bed, before the final left, the turn toward Mother's. White against gray rain, he flashed. So many points. Kelly, he kept going, not looking back, dove straight into the cops, head forward, his brown skinned family a few yards behind. The second time, I had just left you. The air of your hospital room, thick with shifting flutings, saturated current we all waded, swam, were washed in. Even the aid, not needed after the day your bad blood stats scared mother and she shot up the oxygen, waking you to panic, so you ripped off the mask that pulled you back. Each time I left, I walked into a world I did not recognize, and a silent granite straitjacket wrapped itself around me by the time I reached the parking lot, where each day I had a ticket. Someone thought hospital guests could see meters. Kelly, that night when I saw the white deer, he was running ahead of me on the road's shoulder. He leapt away, The aide showed me the four-legged pole, total parenteral nutrition, glistening behind you. This is the first heroic measure, she said. 12 hours a day, viscous and slippery with fats you'd avoided 20 years, the catheter barged its cargo of calories stealthily through the port, walled canal built in your chest, carried it straight to your heart. Food, a problem best avoided. Now a foreign body infiltrating blood from bulging pouches, bypassing stomach, intestines, those neglected folds and tubes, some shriveled, others swollen. Mother did not ask, tell anyone she had chosen this. I remember when all you would eat was cream of wheat. You were 5. Mother cooked it 3-4 times a day. Maybe it was a relief. You'd been allergic, gasped, wheezed, whenever you ate what seemed like everything to me. By the time food could be pleasure, she had that article pasted to the fridge. 5 foods never to eat again. Number 1, cheese. Measured her breakfast. Quarter cup Grape Nuts, half cup All Bran. You went her one better. You measured your milk. 4 ounces a serving. Drank it with half an orange. Called that full enough for pills. Too ill then for dinner, where otherwise you and she circled the food. Hunger a contest. Eyes on each other. Waiting to see who would look down. Take. Eat. A little milk and fruit. A bottle of wine. Maybe rum. And you'd sleep through dinner. Too late this breach, vascular invasion to nurture. Starved and drowned, your organs cannot absorb, surrender their function. Had you known, you would have ripped the catheter out. Still, the TPN bought us a little time. Time for each of us to sit beside your bed, read aloud. You seemed asleep, occasionally squeezed my hand. To find me, you reached back through the current of charged, laden air, its oscillations, flooding till it covered us all. A cataract you dove into died. The rest of us stood around, bright puddles receding, taste of salt and sweet still on our tongues. Weeks later, I saw your framed picture of the white stag, center of your living room, gift from a lover who knew you saw the stag often. Harold, who frequented your night's wanderings, his white flash bisecting your unceasing arcs of hunger. I just got back from visiting one of my sons, so I thought I would read a couple lighter son poems, one of which, the last, which is the, there's two, and the last one is also a nod to the World Cup. The right tree. The important thing, Matthew says, is finding the right tree. The right tree meets the ground like this. He gestures with his hands. Its roots should rise in an upside-down V, the right angle for a roof and walls. We look for 15 minutes, try some wrong trees, nearly pass the right tree up. When we find it, it is big, with 4 V's like the space between fingers as they touch the ground. Now, gather twigs, brown grass, mud, and pebbles. We lean the twigs above the V of roots, lay them in crosses, in X's, jumbled, until our smaller twigs and grass will rest on top of them. That makes the roof. Mud seals the cracks. Then push straight twigs tight between roof and ground to form a door. In the winter, Matthew says, leaning back and looking up at me, a little animal will come and live in it. Matt on the soccer field. His right leg flashes out from the melee, swung wide at hip, in, gathering the ball, then flirting with it, sending it ahead to catch it with the other foot. It's his now, guarded. This is my son, age 7, a glider flying. He is dancing a running ballet. The only sound, muffled thud of leather on leather, shoe on ball. Self in body, thought is act. This is my son, whose bed is safe, whose body is his. When he runs, he is all in it. Thank you.